Hello, everybody. Welcome to Comedy Film Nerds episode 311. 311. Oh, we just had 311 day. All you 311 fans. Oh, that's a fun band.
And if you're a fan, chances are the numbers 311 are in your Twitter handle.
Yeah, for sure. Or your Instagram.
Yeah.
Or some, whatever social media you use. Your whatever name 311.
Right.
Or there's a 420 in and a 311 in there. Or like
that. There's some kind of number code.
Yeah, with threes with involving that band and marijuana. So thank you guys for listening.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
We got a lot of stuff we're going to talk about today. We've got a PodFest announcement. We're going to be doing 10 Cloverfield Lane, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Sword of Destiny. And maybe we'll be talking a little bit about Christopher Nolan movies and a lot of Oscar movies on DVD and Blu-ray being released this week.
Nice. Well, let's introduce our guest.
Let's do it.
First-time guest.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get a lot of first-time guests, buddy.
Yep.
And we've tried to get this guy on the show a while ago, and then a whole series of events transpired. But we got him. He's here.
Worth the wait.
Worth the wait. Comedian Shane Moss.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You got it, buddy.
Not a big 311 guy, so this today doesn't mean as much to me.
I
still have it in the handle at Shane Comedy. They're okay. I like the number, you know?
So I've always been a big March 11th guy. It's right around when the tournament starts. It just feels right to me. 6 days out from St. Paddy's Day.
Yep.
Good day for green vomit.
It's a wind up.
It's a wind up. It's a real wind up. So, let's say real quick, the PodFest dates have been announced March 23rd through the 25th.
Or September.
Oh, yeah. Jesus. The festival's next week.
Yeah.
You're right. September 23rd through the 20th. I've had 3 hours of sleep, yeah. So I don't. This episode
will be really interesting.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
I might fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a tirade coming on just anything. I could tirade on something.
You know what? It'll be interesting. I want to see if there will be kind of a trigger warning, or mm-hmm. if you're so tired that you don't even care and it's a mellow episode all the way
through. Yeah, it could be that. It could just be like, yeah.
I'm hoping for a mellow tirade, just a really sleepy tirade.
Yeah, well, guys, here's another thing that's bullshit.
I'm really angry about this.
Yeah, and the world's fucked, so don't forget to follow us on Twitter.
We're all gonna die!
What I really want to say is Trump 2016.
PodFest will be September 23rd through the 25th. It's at the Sofitel. Tickets are going on sale this week. We're just finalizing all the little technical blah, blah, blah.
Biggest year ever. We've already booked some giant shows that we will be announcing shortly.
Yes. So it'll be fun. And, we're excited about it, as you can hear in my voice.
Yes. We're very excited.
Yeah,
for real.
It's not that I'm not sleeping because it's so much work and then finishing.
And stress.
Punch someone in the throat.
Lightly.
More of a massage.
Yeah. More of a throat punch massage.
Yeah, like a Reiki healing throat punch. But Shane, tell us, you have a podcast. What's your new podcast?
I do. It's called Here We Are, and everywhere I'm a road comic. I'm traveling all the time, so everywhere that I'm at, I look up scientists in the area to talk about life and why we behave the way we do.
Scientists on the road?
Yeah.
Are there scientists in every area? Or occasionally you're like, you know what? There are no scientists.
What about like a
here?
Heavy red state? Is the scientist like, yeah, global warming's a myth?
Well, I just did a bunch of great ones in Texas. It was funny because science is still you can't be a creationist and be scientist, you have to take a class on evolution and what you can't just be like, nope, it's nonsense. Mm-hmm. So it's not that the scientists are any different, but it is different. And I was just in, I think it's Fort Worth, it was Fort Worth, and it's Texas Christian University, and I had an evolutionary psychologist on, and she's like, yeah, can you just say TCU? I don't like the the word. I don't want people thinking that I'm a lunatic. but there are there's been areas where I have had trouble finding people. Cleveland, I had trouble finding good guests. I did ultimately find. And then there's like, I was just in Scranton, Pennsylvania. I'm like, I'm not going to bother. There's like small, so there's small cities. But then
it's hard to find people in Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. And
so do you mainly go to the universities? Is that sort of your first?
Typically, yeah. I'll look up the big universities, and then sometimes I'll look up like an aquarium or a zoo or something like that, and try to get, you know, like a marine biologist or something like that on. My main wheelhouse is evolutionary psychology and biology, and how evolution kind of drives the way that we think and make decisions now.
Shane's almost like a private investigator for scientists. Like if someone disappears in a certain area, you could like go find it. Well, did you check the universities? Did you check the aquariums?
We can't find a scientist anywhere around here.
Check the aquariums.
Yeah, it is weird when you'll go places like I was just in Wichita and where there's these, you know, academics are fairly liberal, and then they're up against these, you know, they're surrounded, you know, they're right in these red states where, like in Wichita, they're now making it legal to bring guns into the classroom. And so you have a bunch of like liberal professors being like, what? Like, how can you do? I guess we're going to have to ease up on our grading policies. you know. There is that weird mix. But
yeah, I mean, did you think like maybe this country's done? Like, we ought to just kind of let it go?
You know,
Rome fell. We should just let it. Like, we should build a wall around Texas and Wichita.
I think the apple cart is full and it's about to be knocked over.
Yeah,
I really think that we're at that point where we gotta choose. Which direction do you want to go?
I mean, there's definitely different ways of looking. It's frustrating when starting any podcast. You're like, you know, it's another podcast. There's a billion podcasts. Who knows if anyone's going to listen? But then, you know, I've had all these great guests, and sometimes I'm like getting this mind-blowing information. I'm like, man, why does no one want to care about any of this stuff? But which, I mean, it's still, I've been having a fair amount of success with it. But it is, if you look back like the late 1800s, there'd be like, workers would be getting out of their jobs in coal mines and going out to see lectures on physics and whatnot. And I don't know like what happened to that, but
I don't know. That's the thing that's so fascinating. I was talking to somebody why in this country specifically, like I met a guy who was studied abroad and he was in Ireland, and you know, he was like, God, I remember being at this tavern having this great philosophical conversation with this guy in Ireland, and then the next day I saw him sweeping the streets. That was his job.
Yeah.
And why in America, if you do like manual labor, it's then, nope, I don't want to learn.
Yeah, it's
like,
weird.
I just want a beer and I don't have a book, and that's book talking, you know. And it's like, why, what's wrong with I don't get it. You could be a farmer, you could do construction and still read.
I know.
I'm assuming. Yeah.
Ignorance somehow became acceptable, whereas, like, well, it's okay, I don't need to read. Like,
yeah.
No, you really should.
And I don't know if it's that people are maybe intimidated or something, because I don't know. I mean, I never went to college. I did a bunch of factory work, and like I know all those guys, and I remember what their mentality was like, and it was
I've had hundreds of day jobs too, and I've done all those things.
Yeah,
I
mean,
people are people.
I think when you are in a job like that nowadays, where it's also like a factory job used to be a source of pride. Like, oh, I'm in on this new, it'd be like working for Silicon Valley or something like that, where I'm like, I'm in the cutting edge of society right now, you know, and now you're working in a factory. You're either looking around going, I got to get the hell out of here. Or you just got to like give up and like look for whatever escape that you can, you know, and drink your head off and do pills and whatever else to just to escape, you know.
Wow.
I don't know. And who knows? But there's also people are way into TED Talks these days. Yeah. People are into, I mean, documentaries are getting pretty big these days. And
there is this new, obviously the internet is this new resource where you can get all of this information.
I think one of the biggest problems was that in our political system, being an intellectual and being well-read became like a liability. I'm like, no, I want to vote for someone who I'd have a beer with. Really? Yeah.
No.
What about? No, you don't.
I don't want the guy with the launch codes to be drinking beer.
Yeah. You want someone smarter than you.
I know.
In charge of the government. Yeah.
First off, listeners, if that's your mentality, I guarantee I'm more fun to have a beer with than any politician you'll ever meet.
Right.
And that doesn't mean I should be president.
No, ever. No.
At all.
No.
Like, and if that's what you think about life, I don't want to have a beer with you.
Anyway, see, now you just ruined it.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into some movies.
I like that I'm assuming that your listeners are somehow like the people that we're talking
to. Our show is
first off, listeners, it's mostly just factory workers that don't want to learn anything, is what I imagine.
Right. Well, that's all our listeners. Are just beer guzzling yahoos. That don't know how to think about movies until we tell them. That's what
I'm only so bitter about factory work because I did it so much.
Please email us if you're a fan and you're a factory worker and you refuse to learn anything.
First of all, how did you figure out a podcast?
So let's talk about 10 Cloverfield Lane. This is a movie that had a lot of hype coming up to it. It was like one of those slow rollout teaser, like, what's it going on? And
so Shane, just so you know, there's no spoiler alerts on the show, so don't give up any key endings or anything like that.
All right. Yeah, no problem.
It should be pretty easy.
I didn't see it, so you don't have to worry about me. So, I wanted to see it.
Now, I did go see it. Neil saw it. There's a review on the site.
He
absolutely loved it. Now, I want to see what you thought about this movie, Graham. Would you like to go first?
You know, I went into this movie thinking, is this going to be like a low-rent Room? You know what I mean? Like, Room is this really compelling movie, and obviously we talked about it. Brie Larson earned the Oscar. It's a really great movie, but is this going to be just an annoying version of that? And I gotta say, I wanted to hate it because I'm just been stressed and in a pretty shitty mood, and it's hard for me to watch movies because I just go, I wish I was making those, and I'm sick of doing this, and I want to make movies.
Did you see it in the food theater?
I did see it in a food theater. So I was comfortable. I was relaxed. Yep.
You leaned back.
I had a black bean veggie burger with some rosemary fries and a delicious glass of water.
Mm-hmm. I won't admit to that.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I'm not a beer guzzling factory asshole. So
you and your learning about veggie burgers.
Yeah. Just learn about beef and how if everyone stopped eating it, the world would be a better place. But anyway, I'm an asshole. So, yeah, I wanted to kind of, like, hate everything about this, and I want to hate the Hollywood film industry pretty concisely and hate anyone that I know that's doing well.
So it was a very specific mindset.
So you are a comedian.
Yes, I am a comedian. I am sick of, like, helping people out and our various projects and then have not reciprocating. I'm not naming names, but I've never been on At Midnight. So I'm really kind of like, fuck off to like everything and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I sit.
So you were in a mood.
I'm in a mood. Mm-hmm. And that mood kept me through not sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exacerbated. That mood is exacerbated. I would love for some guy to fucking get in my face about. I want to like see a guy like try to grab someone or fight someone or abduct a kid. So I have a reason to just fucking beat the shit out of a guy.
Well, maybe you should go to a Trump rally.
You know, oh God, I would gladly just fucking pound those.
Trump
assholes.
Will pay your legal fees.
Oh, just beat the shit out of those.
Yeah,
people.
Does he pay your legal fees?
If you're kicking the ass of one of his supporters. Yeah. If I
he
found
didn't specify.
One of those slack-jawed Klan member Trump people, I could beat one of them, and then I could go sit in a nice, comfortable chair and watch a movie without losing any sleep. Then I would sleep like a baby.
So
it's funny that I thought like the KKK was like just gone. I thought,
oh no,
and then I was like,
they're still around.
It's just that they don't. Where They don't wear hoods anymore. Yeah. They're like not even embarrassed enough to like wear hoods.
Not out in the open.
Straight up.
No.
So all right, so Graham, so I'm going to guess then that this movie kind of changed your mind and got you in a better mood, or was it the burger?
It was the burger and the comfortable chair.
Yeah.
I got to say, I was thoroughly entertained throughout this entire film. I was engaged. John Goodman's an exceptional, you know, he's great playing this weirdo guy. And this is just from the trailer, so I'm not doing any spoilers. So the trailer is, and this is the question of the movie, is there a real threat outside or is he just a creep?
Mm-hmm.
So that is engaging enough for me. And right when I was starting to go, all right, some shit happens that's interesting, and I go, wow. And by the end of it, I was like, I like this film. It was really good. You know, and then went home and set up the PodFest event thing on Facebook and invited a bunch of people, and then started to feel tired, and then laid in my bed and started spiraling out about all this other bullshit that drives me fucking nuts, and then I couldn't sleep. But the movie was pretty solid. Yeah.
You know, I'm going to give a review of this podcast so far. So early on, it was teased that maybe there was going to be some ranting, you know, and I kind of had my hopes up for that, and I didn't know if it was going to be like a full on rant or what was going to happen, and then I was very satisfied with the rant that happened and the turn that it took.
Sure.
And you know what? And it was a nice low key rant. It was a little, it got your defenses down, but then it got to a point.
Yeah. To talk about wanting to beat up a Trump supporter.
Yeah. I will say I also enjoyed this movie. I went into it with a more neutral point of view when I went in.
Wanting to set the world on fire?
No, I'll tell you, it was the kind of movie too where I was completely neutral in my kind of preconceived notion that I was either going to hate it or really enjoy it. I didn't think I was going to find it mediocre. I was either going to go one way or the other. Now, the thing I really liked about it was that it had solid acting. It was a solid B movie. Now, let's be clear.
It's a B movie. And a fun B movie.
And it was occasionally, like, it reminded me of Scream. Scream was essentially a B movie, but studio made it, had a lot of money behind it, and this really felt that way. And what I liked about it, too, is this is where J.J. Abrams can actually do some good. He can actually produce something that other filmmakers are making that wouldn't necessarily get made, but if he puts his name on it and produces it, it can actually get made now. And he could give a voice to new filmmakers and new stories and things like that.
This filmmaker is brand new. He did one episode of TV, and he's done a couple of shorts. This director, Dan Trachtenberg.
Yeah, I think he's kind of been in the Buffy, J.J. Abrams universe for a while, but and it's good. So this is... I like this model where, you know, a filmmaker can say, hey, people that I've worked with for a while or whatever, let me give you a break. Let me produce your movie. I love the mystery of this film. Like, when it first comes to, like, well, is John Goodman crazy? Is there shit really going on outside? And I liked the way it unfolded. It wasn't too long. It was one of those, like, okay, B-movie. There's no reason at all why this needs to be 2 hours.
103 minutes.
Yeah. This is 90 to 100 minutes. That's exactly the wheelhouse where this should be. It's a very it's literally one set, 80, 90% of it is, you know.
The budget was
bunker.
$5 million.
Yes.
According to IMDb, the budget is $5 million, and it did, $25 million its opening weekend.
And that $5 million budget... mostly in salaries.
For John Goodman.
Yeah, John Goodman and J.J. Abrams put his name on it, you know, and I'm sure there was a bunch of studio execs that, were budgeted in there.
And that's, you know, and the set that they shot it on actually was pretty cool. The bunker set was pretty fantastic. You
know, this easily could have been an indie film made under $1 million, for sure.
One location.
So I really enjoyed it. I liked the way it unfolded. I thought it didn't ham up. I thought John Goodman is a solid actor, and he knows where the line is. He knows when to pull back. Like, if you look at a movie like when he's working with the Coen brothers, even in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou or Barton Fink.
He was so good in Oh Brother, man. Yeah, he was great.
You know, he's not always going to be Fred Flintstone or Roseanne's wife. You know, he has that range where he can actually take a character and do something interesting with it.
Well, you think about that. That's a great point. So look at what he did in this. It's kind of weird, creepy dude. Is he a good guy? Is he not?
Right.
And then you look at like who he played in Argo. Now, Argo, he's playing an actual dude, but that
yeah.
move, Hollywood producer in Argo was hilarious. The guy yeah. he played in Trumbo was a different type of Hollywood movie producer
right.
that was unique and interesting. Mm-hmm. It was just, he's really a fun guy to watch.
Now I'm going to go back and watch Arachnophobia.
Yeah. yeah.
That's a great example. Now, he's got that weird spiders are a lot like you and me.
Now, I will say the one complaint I did have about this movie, and this is nothing to do with the movie itself, I didn't like the way this movie was presented to me. the marketing and the way it was branded was completely unnecessary. It really stunk of that, you know, studio, well, if we're going to make this movie, here's what we need. That studio kind of marketing hook, like a woman waking up in a bunker and not knowing what happened with the creepy guy, and you're not sure if shit went down outside or he's kidnapped you and it's actually crazy. That's enough for a compelling movie. Right. I didn't need to know this is in the Cloverfield universe. Not every movie needs an extended universe attached to it. Because the entire time I'm thinking, well, if this is in the Cloverfield universe, there's only one thing in the Cloverfield universe, a giant monster.
Yeah, that's it.
So it colors like, well, what if this is in that universe, then that's obviously what I need to see.
Right.
So it's like, well, this is in the Godzilla universe. Well, then I'm going to see Godzilla, right?
Right.
I don't want to see a bunker and hear Godzilla outside. Then just I know that that's in the universe. So it was a completely unnecessary kind of marketing hook that I didn't need. This movie easily could have stood on its own, and you don't need to throw it into that universe for sure. So I thought that was kind of weird, but I get why they did it. And we're like, well, it's a low-budget movie. We don't know if people are going to go see it. It's a mystery. We got to give this marketing hook that it's going to be in this universe. But
I didn't get that, though. Like, I know everyone was like, oh, it's Cloverfield. But I didn't get that it was a part of the Cloverfield universe.
Right.
I mean,
it was an unnecessary add-on.
Right.
For sure.
And so some people were saying that. And I was like, huh?
Yeah.
And it was sort of confusing, like you say. And then the movie poster says, you know, what is it? Terror comes in many forms or whatever.
Right. Oh, you know, the monsters come in all sizes.
Yeah, monster comes in many forms is what it says. And it's like, yeah, I got it. The trailer. I saw the trailer. I got it. Like you say, you're locked in a bunker. Is some shit going down or is this guy nuts? Mm-hmm. We don't know.
I am perfectly happy to accept this as a B-movie premise with some stars in it, and I'm there regardless.
Right.
And this is another movie, too. It probably will do very, very well on, like, video on demand. Like, just
The other thing I want to say, too, is Mary Elizabeth Winstead is, you know, she's kind of the lead. She's the girl that's abducted, and she does a really good job. The first time I was introduced to her was Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and I thought she did a great job in that. I really liked her in Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and she's got some really cool scenes to deal with in this, and how her character has got to sort of maneuver with John Goodman.
Yes.
And then the other guy in the movie who's played by, I don't know, whatever, Beardy Bearderton.
Beardy McBearderson.
Yeah. John Gallagher Jr., I guess. Mm-hmm. So I've seen him in John Gallagher Jr., I've seen him in some other stuff. He's all right. But
You mean stock millennial character?
Stock millennial Mike.
Yeah.
But she really, it's her and John Goodman.
Yes, definitely.
That do everything. Mm-hmm. So.
So it was good. And, you know, we won't give away anything as far as plot or ending, although maybe we'll do a spoiler up. This would be a good spoiler up
to do. This would be a good spoiler up to do. Yeah.
My recommendation for Cloverfield Lane is check it out. Don't worry about the Cloverfield Lane, you know, the connection, and treat it as if it's a really fun B movie, which it is.
Yeah. All right. Next movie, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Sword of Destiny.
Yes.
Yes.
This is the sequel, Netflix only. Ooh, and, One of the funniest reviews on our site ever is the Rick Myers review of this film. I've always said him and CJ, when they don't like a film, it's hilarious.
It's great. So
now I'm going to let our guests go first, yeah, and then I will discuss. Shane, what did you think of this sequel? Did you see the first one, first of all?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I wasn't like a big fan or anything like that. I just saw it. I don't really even remember it. So I didn't remember the plot because... from what I gather, they were picking up from something, right, that I just...
Well, neither did these filmmakers, so that's fine.
Okay. not enough action, you know? Could have used more action. it was exactly what I thought it would be. It was... certainly, had it not been on Netflix, I would have never... had any interest in seeing it. It was, you know, cheesy. There's cheesy lines, and then they'll like tell some horrible joke and everyone laughs like so hard to let you know that that was a joke that just happened. It was I don't know how they found that many actors that could fly like that, but they did a good job. They did a good job of that aspect. I mean, it was just exactly what I thought it was going to be. And it was just, you know, I watched it last night when I just wanted to turn off my brain and see, you know, something really silly. I mean, I found it to be silly. It's right. A silly sort of thing.
Shane is right. It's a silly, stupid movie. Yeah. And when you look at the prestige and the beauty of the original film, this is by every account a cheap like DVD sequel knockoff. Like, you remember sometimes it happened, right, a lot in like the 80s and 90s where a movie would do really well in the theater, but it didn't do quite well enough to get like a theatrical sequel. So some cheap producer would buy the rights and make these horrible straight-to-DVD or straight-to-VHS knockoffs. Mm. And they weren't anywhere near as good as like the original. And that was the point. They had, you know, a fraction of the budget. None of the actors would return. And that's exactly what this feels like. This feels like a straight-to-video or straight-to-DVD release with very little care taken from the original. Now, one of the actresses does return, Michelle
Yeoh.
The thing that really cracked me up, there were a couple things. First of all, it's shot in English, which is very interesting.
Great.
And let's say the actors, some of them can speak English a little better than others. Some of them almost needed to put the subtitles on, regardless, even though it's in English. And so it feels like, well, this is like some weird kind of cash grab for like Netflix just to cash in on literally the title.
Yeah,
that nothing that made it cool, just we're buying the title and kind of doing what we want.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it had the flying, it had the wire work. Everything was subpar. The acting, the fighting, the choreography, the scenery, even just the color palette. Everything just felt like, well, we don't have enough money to do what they did before.
Yeah.
So just give them a taste and maybe they'll be happy.
The sword's magic.
Yeah.
How many of your podcasts on the road have you talked to scientists and magic swords?
Magic swords?
Yeah.
They're still trying to get down to the bottom of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of questions.
It's a magic sword that just seems to have a history that, you know, doesn't really do anything. Wow. Doesn't glow. It's just, it's, you know, it's magic.
It's green.
It's killed a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. It's green. Well, that means it's magic.
It doesn't sing. Doesn't do anything.
I like, when I heard that there was a sequel to this, mm-hmm, my first thinking was like, wow. But I'm so bummed. I'm really sad that Rick Myers had to see it.
Yeah.
I'm sad for anyone that loved the first one. I saw the first one in the theaters. It came out in 2000, and I saw it at the Lemley in Santa Monica. And I remember no one in America had seen that type of wire work, which is, I guess, from the Chinese opera. It was the first time anyone in America on a main stream audience had ever, the first fight scene happened in Crouching Tiger, and the theater erupted with applause.
Right.
Like, it was it was like, wow. It mm-hmm. was so amazing. And I was like, this movie is unbelievable. And I just couldn't get enough of those films that came out, and you started to get all these, you know, you got, what is it, House of Flying Daggers, and you've
right.
you got, you know, Hero, and these movies that they were re-releasing, obviously they'd been mm-hmm. made years prior in China and Hong Kong, and that we were getting to see, and it was so cool.
Hero was another beautiful movie,
Hero was just, yeah. like, fantastic. So to then hear that they're just, like, slapping some name on a yeah. Netflix, it's like someone found a box of old DVDs or something.
It's really what it felt like. And the other thing, too, that was, it actually threw me for a second. Another master swordsman comes into Michelle Yao's life, and... at first, she's like, I thought you were dead. We, you know, we left you for dead. And I'm thinking, did somebody replace Chow Yun-fat? And it's like his character's coming back? No. Turns out it was another master swordsman who she had a doomed, you know, affair with, who she can never be with. I'm thinking, well, how many doomed affairs are you going to have with swordsmen who die?
Maybe and, it's time to stop dating yeah, swordsmen.
Yeah,
maybe it's time to find a guy with a good job.
Yeah, and and being you can't be with any of them anyway, because of some weird code that makes no sense.
It's like dating a comedian.
Yeah, yeah.
It just doesn't work. You can't...
including to all the characters around you. Yeah. So it was really weird. I felt like I'm watching this movie. Everyone looked like they were just getting a paycheck and just walking through it. And that's exactly what it was, for sure.
I mean, I'm a real sucker for the shaved, receding hairline with the ponytail. Like, I'm gonna try that look out. You just shave the hair back about 6 inches or so, and then you just throw a pony on there. Ooh, that's a good look.
I think that should be the cover art for your new album.
Yeah, call it DJ Chinese Monk.
I think you should go. You should commit to that, Shane.
Is Shane Moss racist all of a sudden? What is up with it? No, he just likes that hairstyle.
He just really digs it. And then wear the shoes and the whole outfit. And like, oh, all right, Shane just is going through a phase. It's a Minnesota guy trying to find some different stuff.
But I think Shane...
travels the world, talks to scientists, and decides to go fucking freak bag his hair. And just
he encapsulated the movie very brilliantly when he just said it's silly.
It is, and
hashtag silly. Yeah.
Unlike as you kind of pointed, unlike the original or Hero, this is not a movie that they're going to be playing in like Best Buy when you go to buy a TV,
right?
To show off like how stunning this is, you know?
Yeah, and it's weird. Ang Lee didn't come back to make this.
Isn't
one
that weird?
As he did the first one. No, the first one like was the first time we got to. I mean, like we got to see.
There's a better
Ang
chance
Lee.
Of him making a Hulk movie.
Yeah,
directing right. another Hulk movie. Which than doing
I would go see him give another swing at a Hulk movie. Yeah. Versus,
I can't get into Hulk, man. I just can't.
If Hulk shaved his head and got the ponytail, then you'd probably be more.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
So now, Shane, we were talking about your podcast, but we're also talking about you're a fan of Christopher Nolan movies.
Yeah, huge fan.
Now, what's your favorite Christopher Nolan movie?
Probably Memento. Oh, wow. I mean, I've seen it so many times. Mm-hmm. One time I made this parody for some site that paid me like a ridiculous amount of money, and then it never even got released because they like went under for paying comics way too much money to make little shorts. And so
what site was that?
It was Super Deluxe back in the day, which I think they're actually coming back or under some other name. They made some great stuff, but then they gave people like me who didn't know what they were doing and were in the business for 3 years way too much money to make shorts, which
happened.
I've never done.
Well, good for you.
Websites never come on scene with a bunch of money, throw it around, and then go out of business. That's never. Yeah. I've never seen that happen.
Yeah. We're gonna get the internet. Yes. We hear people are using this internet stuff all the time. What if we put comedy on the internet? If we just put enough money behind it, nope.
No, they waste money on stuff like that. They have usually like the glitziest of office spaces.
Yeah.
It's just wow, you guys are spending $50,000 a month on this
a diamond-studded foosball tape.
Yeah, just to have a bunch of 20-somethings, you know.
Run bleed through your money.
Yeah, sit on bean bags. Like.
So I made these couple things, and it was just a silly premise, which is basically how, like, in a relationship fight, by the end of it, you never remember how it even started in the first place. Right. So it was just, like, shot me backwards and everything. Whatever. But in making that, I watched the film like 20 times, and every single time I noticed something, like a choice that the actor made or something like that, that I was like, oh my God, this is incredible.
Was Memento one of those films for you that when you saw it, it sort of was groundbreaking for you or sort of changed your perception of movies a little bit?
I think so, yeah. It was bad. And maybe there's like a nostalgia for that where... Mm-hmm. But I mean, I've loved everything that he's done. I think the Batman movies are the three best superhero movies ever made.
Ever made.
And,
that is correct.
and which may or may not be saying a whole lot, but I mean, yeah. I like the X-Men movies, okay?
Sure.
What did you think of Insomnia?
I enjoyed it, but I believe wasn't he just the producer for that? I'm not sure that he wrote or directed that, but I enjoyed that.
I think he directed it.
Did he?
Let's see.
I mean, I thought Robin Williams did a good job. I remember enjoying The Following, but I only saw it
Director,
once way back
Christopher
when.
Nolan.
Oh, okay.
Insomnia, 2002.
Okay. But he didn't write it, right?
No.
And
them.
And then I
mean, his brother,
but somebody directed Al Pacino to not know how to close drapes and get it and sleep. That's the problem. That's the problem. He goes, oh, I can't sleep. Yeah, pull your fucking drapes, asshole! Like everyone, just take a goddamn nap.
Comedians can Williams
sleep in the sun at noon outside.
Yeah, Robin Williams. Robin Williams was the bad guy, and Al Pacino was the detective.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
Just
yeah,
around
yeah.
Going, I can't sleep.
Yeah. That is a hilarious point. Like, you know, you ever heard of an eye mask?
Yeah.
You ever? Like, this isn't.
Just fucking put a pillow over your face. What's that's not that hard. I do it all the time.
But getting back to Memento, Memento is great. It's a really good movie.
I still to this day, I probably saw it again like 6 months ago. I think I watch it every year, and I never rewatch movies. Inception, I've rewatched many times. And I mean, I never rewatch movies by
I think
anybody.
That would be a fun like show to do, is just ask comedians, what's a movie you watch once a year? Like we all have,
right?
Not flipping through the channels and you stop when it's on, but you're like, you know what?
It's
I need to watch this again.
I'm not sure there's anything else like that
for me. It's The Natural.
Yeah.
I gotta watch The Natural. Because I feel like, especially now, the older I get, the more I feel like I'm the Roy Hobbs of show business on some shitty team where they won't let me hit. Mm. And if I finally do, I'll knock it out of the park and lightning will strike the ball.
Mm. I'm Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit for the same reason.
You feel like you're an out-of-ball player?
And I'm just carrying a ring that I'm trying to get rid of.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Very identifiable.
You know, and there's just a bunch of monsters chasing me.
Yeah.
Now it's funny too, like one of the Christopher Nolan Batman movies is something I'll sit and watch once a year, at least one of them.
Yeah,
I'll watch Dark Knight Rises or Dark Knight or even Batman Begins.
And what was it Rises was Heath Ledger
of the Dark Knight. The middle one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Dark Knight, which is the one that everyone talked about. But the original, or the first one... Batman Begins was such a great origin story.
Man. It was really good.
It was so fucking well done. And then I didn't necessarily like how it ended, but I thought Rises was way better than people gave it credit for.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought Inception was... for someone who is way into psychology and neuroscience, and I've learned a fair amount about sleeping, Inception's a pretty decent representation of what the dream state might actually be doing.
And really?
Yeah, I think so. I think they did like a pretty nice job. And Memento is the same too. The Memento was based off of there was a guy.
There was an article. Yeah.
He's like famous. If you take like neuroscience 101, you're gonna hear about this guy. But he couldn't form new memories. He had some sort of a head injury and couldn't form new memories, and would forget everything within, you know, 30 minutes or whatever. And it was kind of an interesting, so it was like kind of accurate in that way. That is a thing that has happened to multiple people. And then, you know, taking this kind of real thing and then adding this interesting kind of action story and thriller story. There's a little bit of action, and it it's not so much where, like, I tried showing Memento to my parents, and they were just like, this is boring. It was like too slow for them.
Give me that insomnia. So they don't like overdo it. Walking around, can't sleep. That's exciting.
And then Interstellar again is, if you know a little bit about physics, it's not too terribly far off, and actually, there's a lot of like theoretical physicists that think that that their representation of what the inside of a black hole looks like is not all that crazy. They thought it was like a pretty interesting representation.
I think Interstellar is another movie that doesn't get as much credit as it should have.
I thought so too. I think it was maybe a little too long for people or something.
Right. It really felt like a modern 2001.
Yeah.
I thought it was terrific.
Yeah,
I
liked it too.
I feel like he's never missed, and there's just something about it just like clicks with the way that I think about things too. I don't know. I just
that beer guzzling factory worker.
Yeah. Who interview scientists?
I mean that in Inception when I'm usually not a sucker for action scenes, but when like the van's rolling down the hill and then the hotel's moving in that way, and oh my God, it's incredible.
Yeah. It was pretty cool.
It's great.
And that's innovative, speaking of like really innovative kind of shooting too, like we were talking about with the Crouching Tiger. Like I've never seen a concept.
Well, that's the thing
like
too
that
I think sort
it's
of
very meticulous filmmaking.
Well, yeah, that's the thing that I think sort of resonates with most people with Nolan is there's that. He's so meticulous. He's going to do something very interesting. He's going to try something new visually. He's going to direct actors in a way that's like, you know, let's try some, like, you know, giving Heath Ledger the latitude and the direction.
I know everyone was like, Heath Ledger.
I was the one of the first people.
There's no way. The guy from First Night.
Yeah, come on. Like, no way. And he gave him this latitude to do that. And I think he's really skilled at A, getting the best out of actors. And by doing that, he B, lets them do their, like, he kind of, it seems to me, obviously I'm not on the set, don't know his process or whatever, but it really seems like he's encouraging them, hey man, try this different thing, or let's experiment with that a little bit, you know? And I think you see it in, like, you know, Memento, maybe one of his first films, is so unique, and how he's directing Guy Pearce and which why it was so, all of us were like, whoa, this movie's really cool how they're doing this. And I think that's what he brings.
He builds puzzles. So it's the rewatchability of it is, so like compare like Batman to Deadpool, which I enjoyed. Yeah. I thought it was an enjoyable film, but they didn't, certainly wasn't a puzzle.
No.
You know, it was like, you know, the end was just very, no spoilers on this, but there was like, I thought they could have made some different choices at the end where it's I don't want to get in trouble.
That's an excellent point though, and that's why I think that the us, like, you know, Nolan files think the Batman trilogy doesn't get enough credit because it gets lumped into this superhero bin, and it's like they're far more complex than many superhero movies.
And I thought when I heard that Deadpool was rated R, I was like, ooh, this maybe this will be interesting. And I was like, at the end, I was like, why was it rated R? Because there's like dick jokes and some titties. Like, yeah. I could have gone without 3 seconds of titties. I can watch porn later on. You know? Whereas I believe all the Batmans were PG-13, yes. Weren't they? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And man, they were dark and they were interesting. And to have to have Heath Ledger be this, I mean, I don't even know how they got away with that kind of terrorism stuff on a PG-13 level. Right. Compared to, I thought some of the violence in Deadpool was a little on the sillier side, which is fine. I enjoyed it.
It was definitely deliberate, for sure. Yeah. It was like that kind of RoboCop violence, where it borders on pretty much satirical, which is where it's going.
Yeah.
Let me ask you what you think of this, and then we'll move on. So according to IMDb, the next movie he's working on, Christopher Nolan, that he has written and will direct, is Dunkirk, which is about the Dunkirk evacuation, which took place at the beginning of World War II. Mm. So he's now doing, I haven't seen it, Tom Hardy's in it, Mark Rylance is in it, a World War II. Like, Christopher Nolan is doing a World War II movie.
That's interesting. I mean, I liked when Tarantino went that way Inglourious Bastards.
This is based on a true event, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if he's going to be able to have the freedom to build such the same kind of intricate puzzle, if it's something where it's a story. How are you going to put twists in a story?
Well, my guess is... just knowing his body of work and knowing what this is, my guess is, I don't know that much about this Dunkirk evacuation, but my guess is, like anything on a world, especially World War II, there is a lot of politics and intrigue and, you know, like all the shit that was going down at the time, you know, stuff that we sort of gets lost in the victory of World War II is the uncertainty at the beginning of it. You know, Churchill uncertain, would we help them?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because, well, we fought a couple of wars the century prior with England. So like, I wonder if that's what Nolan, my hope is that he finds all of these actual intricacies and all of the backroom haggling of war, the politics of war, and then the individual, the individuals who have to do the singular acts of good and bad that define what an event in a big war is.
Yeah.
That's my hope.
I mean, in my mind, he hasn't missed yet. And I don't know another writer, director who hasn't. I mean, I love Tarantino and he's missed.
Right.
And Tom Hardy, I love, even though I even thought Mad Max was a hair overrated, but I still really loved him in that, and
you know what's interesting about Mad Max? I'm gonna tell people this if they think it's a little overrated. I enjoyed it more the second time when I watched it. It's one of those movies that I think it's so kind of like viscerally overloaded, like everything from the imagery to the action to the almost the adrenaline that you feel when watching it. If you watch it the second time, you're able to take more things in, especially the little nuances with characters. And I recommend seeing it a second time.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And not all movies can do that, for sure. And this is just one of those rare cases. When I watched it on Blu-ray, I'm like, you know what? I like it a little bit more the second time.
Mm. And Tom Hardy also, I thought, was better than DiCaprio, actually.
He was great in The Revenant.
Revenant, yeah. So I think I'm excited about that. Right. When's it coming out?
2017.
Okay.
He's in production now, I believe.
He's got to add all the spaceships and, you know, dream sequences. So
the World War II spaceships. Yeah. All right.
So now a lot of Oscar movies coming out on DVD and Blu-ray. Big Short. Actually, I'll just name them. Big Short, Snubbed, Oscar Movie Concussion, Brooklyn, and Carol are all coming out this week.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, guys, you know, we talked a lot about these films. So if for some reason you didn't, I mean, I would see The Big Short is an important film to watch.
Yes.
Adam McKay, I think, did a really good job in terms of, explaining a very complicated thing, simplifying it for the average person to understand this.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to see it in the theater and I never got a chance. So
yeah,
sure. It's not a movie you needed to see in the theater for
sure. I got that sense.
It's a good movie to sit and watch it at home and like really watch it, not like, you know, be doing something on your phone or whatever. Like it's all these actors do a good job, and it's a story that needs to be told because none of these bank fucks got arrested. Nothing happened, you know? And it's also like, the characters that Steve Carell and all these guys play, those guys are not heroes. Those actual people, that's the one thing I took away from them. I was like, well, I hope it's not making these guys out to be heroes, because they're not.
Right.
They're just like less crooked, you know? But it's a good film. Concussion is a really good movie. I wrote a whole column about that and the whole CTE and the NFL. It's a good movie. I thought some nominations should have come out of that. Brooklyn is highly overrated.
I've never even heard of it.
And an interesting, and then Carol. I actually haven't seen Carol yet.
Oh, Alvin and the Chipmunks: The Road Chip is coming out.
Yeah, so it's definitely
I'll get to see it for my fourth time then.
it's great DVD counter programming for sure. It's like, well, we got another bunch of Oscar movies coming out. Clearly, there's people out there that don't like Oscar movies and like animated chipmunks. What fascinates me is how many movies they've made of Alvin and the Chipmunks. They've been making them for years. And the initial target audience when the first one came out is generally aged out of these movies by now. So each sequel kind of needs a new audience. But they keep making them, so kids are still bugging their parents to go see them. And the site Spotlight.
There's a movie like that that was fueling my rage going into 10 Cloverfield.
Right. Fair enough. Neil has a great 10 Cloverfield Lane review. David Huntsberger showed up and did a couple reviews for the archive, some older movies.
Oh, Huntsie.
We have Mulholland Drive and The Station Agent. So if you want to check out those movies, the reviews are on the site right now. And as we say, too, we really appreciate you guys stopping by the site. Your comments on the message boards are great. And if you're shopping at Amazon, just click through our link, use the affiliate, and of course, check out the store. We keep adding more stuff to the store as well. We've got like Allison Rosen's new shirts are there, as well as all the Thrilling Adventure Hour stuff. And premiering this week coming out.
Fan feedback? Here, let's do some quick
Go ahead.
Fan feedback. If you guys go to on the Facebook page, there was this meme thing of, it says Batman, it says B, Ben Affleck, A, Val Kilmer, and they go through all of them, and your guys' comments are hilarious. Beck Hill wrote, I always list Kevin Conroy as my favorite, but I'm surprised to see him listed over Clooney. Some people were like, there's no George Clooney. A lot of people,
well, he might have requested himself being taken out of that
movie. Jay Sotkaway, that's not a real name, writes Val Kilmer for life, Curtis Whitlock, Michael Keaton forever. You guys are great. Adam West. One person, I think, answered seriously and said, Stuart readily posted, I got to go for Bale. He had the advantage of being in some of the best action movies ever, too. Still a treat to watch. Will can back this. Funny stuff. Thanks, guys, for your contributions on the Facebook page. All right. I'm sorry, you're saying premiering this week?
Oh, premiering this week of the Divergent series.
Oh, Divergent Allergent?
Allegiant. Yeah, Divergent. I have lost track.
There was Divergent Insurgent.
Insurgent.
There was Detergent.
Yeah.
There was Convergence.
Retergent.
There was Retergence. These look so great. Like, they just.
I just hope they keep making them.
Who's going to these?
How is the story going to end?
I feel like this is the final destination. Like,
I really feel like the strategy is, look, if we could get 10% of the people that saw Hunger Games were gold.
I guess so I
don't know. Nobody on the site nor the people on this podcast that you're listening to right now will be going to see this film, so if you go see it, please let us know how it is.
Good luck.
Miracles from Heaven. It is now in kind of our April Easter time, so a lot of these religious films are dropping.
Yeah.
And this is not to impugn anyone's religious beliefs or religion, but these
these are dumb.
These are stupid movies. And they're also, they're very, what's the word I'm looking for? Calculatedly, they're very calculated cash grabs. What they are is like the, you know, a lot of the times it's, the producers like, don't give a shit about the religion or anything.
It's a horror movie in October.
Yeah,
it's all
yeah,
this is.
It's like really
we
what
have a
it
Jesus
is.
Jesus movie in April.
Yeah. So at least when Tyler Perry makes a movie with a theme of faith, you know, it's like he doesn't make anything he doesn't want to make. At least there's that kind of like, well, no, this is me. I wanted to make
right.
this
I'm
movie.
A Christian. I want to tell yeah. the story.
So, but you know,
when are we going to start getting some more like Flag Day?
Yeah, yeah, or Arbor Day, some more tree
let's
movies,
get some arborists.
So it really has that cynical cash grab feel to it. These movies, Midnight Special. This is an interesting movie. It's getting some kind of like buzz about how great it's going to be. I saw the trailer. I'm not convinced. Neil is convinced it's going to be amazing, and it's. Basically, you have a father and a son who go on the run because the son starts developing like X-Men powers. So it's that kind of like, well, is he an alien? Is that where he's getting his power from? So they're on the road and, you know, running.
It's with, what is it, Kylo Ren? It's with Adam Driver.
Well, what's the most fascinating thing is there's been a lot of special effects used in this film mm-hmm. to make Michael Shannon look not like a creep. So
how can they do that?
Yeah, he actually, they're making him just a dad, a concerned dad, and he's the father of the kid with the alien X-Men like powers. So, and Jeff Nichols directs it. So I don't know. I think it could go either way.
Jeff Nichols directed Mud, which is a really cool film. Mm-hmm.
He's worked with Michael Shannon before.
Yeah, in Shotgun Stories in 2007. So, you know.
To be fair, he's worked with Michael Shannon before where Michael Shannon's been a creepy character. Well,
everyone's worked with Michael Shannon. Anyone who worked with Michael Shannon was when he was playing a creepy character. But yeah, I mean, you've got Michael Shannon, Joel Edgerton, Kristen Dunst, and Kylo.
I wonder if he had to convince him too. Like
Sam Shepard's in this movie. I don't know.
Michael Shannon was like, no, I can do it. I you know, stop. I'm not a creep in every movie.
Like
I want to be a dad.
I want.
Yeah, I won't do creep stare.
It got a lot of buzz at the festival, so I'm
cautiously optimistic
on
this movie.
I like everyone involved. It sounds like it could be interesting.
So Midnight Special.
Midnight Special.
Neil already bought his ticket, so there will be a review up probably by Friday or Saturday.
Neil's got a perfect life.
Yes.
Well, that's our show.
You got through it.
We did.
Yeah.
We need to go to lunch and I need to drink some tea.
Yeah.
but Shane, what do you got coming up? Shows, specials, where can people find you on the internet?
I have a show that I'm doing now about psychedelics, which is different than like my regular club act. I usually do it on like off nights in clubs or in indie venues, and I'll be doing it at Acme in Minneapolis coming up, which is one of the best clubs in the country.
It's a great venue.
I'll be doing it at Helium in Portland, which
another great club.
One of the best. And then I'm doing it all around Oregon. I'm doing it at the Cape Fear Comedy Festival in Wilmington, North Carolina, and also doing my first live podcast there. My podcast, I do all sorts of different things. You were talking about veggie burgers and the world being a better place if people ate less meat. I have this guy Gene Bauer who's on The Daily Show a bunch. He wrote a book. He has these farm sanctuaries, and he's basically preaching that same message. I have him on the show coming up.
The amount of grain and water used to feed the cattle.
Oh, it's like 100 times what
could feed the world.
yeah, that's crazy. So
enjoy your murder.
Anyway,
I do like a good
podcast.
Steak.
me too. I do as well. But I'm also. I try to be an open-minded, compassionate carnivore.
Yeah, so you don't eat them as much.
Yeah.
Just every once in a while now have a steak.
Yeah.
So
and you know,
their whole push is like meat-free Monday or something like, you know, do one day out of the week and don't eat meat.
Sure.
You know, make a little difference. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
All right.
But yeah.
Twitter handle, what do you got?
At Shane Comedy. But yeah, if you go to my... website shanemoss.com, you'll get all my information, including my schedule, which I will try to update today.
I'm really excited to see this psychedelic show. Are you doing it in LA at all?
I've done it a couple times already in LA. Hopefully I'll do it again. It's like this, really what it is, it's a way that I like talking about science in my act, but unless I have like some hook, I just can't. And so it's just been a way that I'm able to talk about perception and consciousness in a way that people will not be bored with. So like I did it, I broke my feet a couple years ago, which is we referenced the troubles with getting me on earlier, and I made an album about that, but it was really about psychology, but it was just like kind of a hook to nice. So that's kind of what all I right. do now,
but yeah. I'm glad to see your feet are better.
Yeah, for the most part.
Well, dude, thanks for being on the show, man.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And if you guys are in any of these cities where he's doing stand-up and the psychedelic show.
What's the name of the psychedelic show?
It's called A Good Trip, so it will be labeled as that on my schedule.
Nice.
So if it just says Shane Moss, it's just my regular stand-up show. If it's The Good Trip, it's the psychedelic show.
Cool. Nice. All right, so that's episode 311 day. Put it in the books. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. And,
So where are you going to be coming up, Graham?
Where the fuck am I going?
You're going to Appleton.
Oh, that's right. I'm headlining Skyline Comedy Cafe this week.
I could only feed you so much.
I know. It's hard. It's hard. I'm usually Johnny Plug Machine. I'm headlining Skyline Comedy Cafe in beautiful Appleton, Wisconsin.
I love that club.
It's a great club, man. Cliff has done a great job in that room. It's fantastic. So it's March 17th through the 19th, this Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So I've put on my Facebook fan page and on my website, grahamelwood.com. It's all there. You follow me on Twitter so you can get tickets to this weekend. Shows are selling out. All right, guys.
And we always want to say thanks again for your support. We really appreciate it. Make sure you support the store. We always say if you spend $20 or more in the store or through the donation, we really appreciate it. But also, there's other ways to help. Like we said, just spread the word about the show. Great reviews on iTunes. It all
likes
helps.
Likes and follows.
Yeah, likes and follows. Check out the Twitter feed.
And those of you guys who have always supported us. And
we appreciate it.
Very, very appreciate it. And those of you who have been listening for free for years, you're dicks.
So what Graham is saying is he's tired and he would like you to please spend some money now.
And you're dicks. Yeah. Like, I'm just well-rested. Wait, well-rested, I'll say the same thing. Like, free content means we might have to close our doors. So, enjoy it. Thanks, Shane. My name's Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember, Han shot first.
But he didn't do it for free.
Sleep deprived.
Always angry.